Hello. So this is the beginning of the newsman. That's the thing. Okay, so we have to start. We start like this. We start with a saying. This is Pirei Gimel, the third chapter of the eight chapters. And the third chapter starts like this. starts with a saying, like a, how do you say a saying, an aphorism, a slogan. The saying is that there is a, it's called a proportion in technical philosophy. There's a mushal, we call it a mushal sometimes, or a, how's this called? An analogy, right? There's an analogy between the body and the soul. There's these two things we call the body and the soul. Sarvet, yeah? And there's an analogy between them, or a proportion. Just proportion means just as, tzadashova, right? Just as the body has two things, the soul has two things. That's probably the way, the direction in which it goes. The body has two things which are called a good state and a bad state. Everything in the world only has two things, good and bad states. Good and bad kinds, good and bad ways, right?
Except the pain in me.
What?
Except the pain in me.
Hello? No, I don't know. It's coming.
Shut up. We went this pain doesn't exist.
Hello? Everything in... Okay, we have to talk. That's what we talked about on Thursday. What does it mean to be good or bad? But anything, everything has a good state and a bad state. And just... And we call the good state of a body health. And the bad state of a body we call... Sickness. Right? So just like you understand that, you should understand that the soul, which you have to know what that is first anyways, but that's why there were two chapters before that told us what that is, also has these two things called health and sickness. That's a very ancient slogan. Remember? Who made up this Muslim? Choli Ahava is in Shir HaShirim, but I think that it doesn't mean sick. It's like, it's a different mushal. It means meshigah, right? It means obsessed, I think, in English, right? So no, probably not. I think that there's a chesed shetach, that it's like nafshi choli asav seich, chesed taki krank. Okay, well, that's not what it means. So who made up this? Who's the Kadmon? The Rambam says the Kadmon. It says, I read for you. Omri HaKadmon. Where's my Hebrew, Arabic? The Kadmoinim said, who are these Kadmoinim? Obviously. Okay, Kenzan. Where's my book? Yeah, I'll get more. Aristotle has invented Kamat Kunish from Zan Gita ideas. I know he organized ideas, but like these kind of ideas he usually didn't invent. Who invented it? Or at least the first one that's written down that said it is Aid. His name was. Okay, Plato, or Plato in the name of Socrates. And this is actually the Kadmoinim. Oh, hello. I'm looking for my Arabic version. Let me see if I can find it. This is the Kadmoinim that Rambam is talking about. They're ancients. Kadmoinim is in English the ancients. Right? And that's what they said, these people. But what are they trying to say? What's this mushal all about? No, you already know Pshat? You heard Mashiach on Thursday? Was the mushna? Was the nimshna? Oh yeah. It's the same sheet. It's the same subject. It's not the same sheet because the sheet has to do with the people, not with me. But the kids, you know, what's the what? Well, firstly, the Ram doesn't say ever, or not in this cipher. This cipher is hiddenly. The other swim the Ram. Yeah, others assume that the Rambam wrote does this explicitly, which is, and in the cipher also in the sixth chapter, right? But in most of them, it doesn't explicitly say that there is a machloikis between the Yidden and the Goyim, between the, so what's called the Torah. And in this cipher, he calls it usually the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Chachamim. He has three categories in this book. I don't know why. It's not from that. There's things that they say, and there's things that other people say, which are known as. No, you read the Akduma, you have your book. It says in the Akduma, it says in Hidden. It doesn't say that it's a stira. And you remember all the Oibachom think that, no, that the Rambam said that there's a stira. There's the Yiddishkeit and there's the philosophy, right? And the Rambam has some kind of teretz in the stira.
Oh, we're in the Pesika now? And,
in this book, he doesn't ever say that there's a stira explicitly. Besides, hello, welcome, Shmuel Eichen, my bankrupt. He does he ever say, we have this book called Shmaya Prukh, which we're learning because the Rambam wrote it when he was a little bukhan. And maybe bukhan like us, we didn't understand it. And in this book, he never doesn't frame it explicitly as being here to solve the machloikas between the philosophers and the Torah, right? There's one chapter in which he talks about an explicit machloikas that they had, and in Machtan Akimta, he doesn't pretend that it's just another shtigl Torah, like it's not like a big problem. But he does talk about it in a backwards way in the Psicha, which we learned for like 3 months at some point, where gives a defense of using non-kosher or non-Jewish sources, which was the famous defense called Shmaya Mishamle is a different way of starting you with a pram, right? Very different story. Like someone, it's very interesting. I'm saying this. I didn't say any shiur yet. So new was bonus. The most people who know about the Rambam know about the Hakdamat Shmaya to what's the other book called Mayor Nevuchim, right? Where it talks about at the beginning of something called the Mevucha. Mevucha is a, how do you call it in English?
Confusion?
Perplexity?
Perplexity.
Yeah, that's a weird translation. I don't know who invented it.
I think Freelander, no?
Probably, maybe before him already. But Mevucha is something that Rambam translated, wrote in Arabic, Khira, and comes from Greek. It's a term that was translated from Greek into Arabic. And it's a, how's it called in Greek? Aporia.
Aporia, okay.
Chira is how the Arab translators translated aporia. And what is an aporia in Greek? No, we don't know anything. We just know what is the word. What does that mean?
Question, not a problem.
It literally means an impasse, right? It's an image. Comes from an image, right? If you have a way, that's why the Mayor Nevuchim is a very little, it's actually a good translation. Because there's a way, you go there, and sometimes you got stuck. You come to an impasse. There's nowhere to go further. You're stuck. So it's an impasse. And Socrates used this word to describe when you get stuck. What's a Socratic impasse? Which he's always trying to get people into.
When you're stuck. When you're seeing your own definition?
Yeah, when you're... Very good. That's great, because this mamish opens up the Rambam a little bit better. When you're stuck because you believe two contradictory things, right? Because you think two contradictory things are even better to say. Right? This is how philosophy started, because Socrates used to go around to people and get them to talk about things, and they would say things, and then they would say more things about the same things, and he would try to make them stuck. People usually think that he's playing games because he's trying, going around to ask people what the definition of something is, and then they don't know it, so they can't define it.
I thought he was trolling.
Yeah, and he himself sometimes said that he's trolling. And then he argues and says, Chas v'shalom, he's trolling. But, right, but really, he does not just trying to get you to be stuck. What he's trying to do is to get you to an impasse. And an impasse is always a contradiction or something that you think. He doesn't care about, he doesn't ever talk about, like, just giving a drusha, this is the truth. Plato used to give such drusha sometimes. He didn't write such things, but he gave such drusha sometimes. And Aristotle quotes him, like, this was what the Rebbe said in the sheet. The Rebbe said, you want to know the truth? It's like this. But in his writings, and at least the writings that we have, there aren't any such drushas. There's only dialogues. And the dialogues are meant, or at least when he's doing repeating this kind of Socratic tactic, it's always meant to show you that there's, you yourself think two contradictory things. And you think them all the time, you just don't notice. So I have a friend that argues, people arguing in the internet about politics, and they show that most people that argue about politics, the way that they do it is that they have all kinds of beliefs that don't match with each other, but they make sure that they're never seen in the same room together. So that's how you could have inconsistent beliefs. And Socrates is always trying to get your contradictory beliefs into the same room and showing you, and then you, like, when you look at it from here, it looks like this. When you look at it from there, it looks like that. And then you're stuck, and there you have a teretz, and then a pshit, and you're glad, right? No. So That's called an impasse, okay? Just like in the mushla, you're going on a way, you need to go somewhere, you get stuck. There's the pusik that the Mayor Vuchim comes from, which is midbar, right? They're stuck. They went out of Mitzrayim. They don't know the way back. They're not all the way to the Yisrael. They're stuck. There's Mitzrayim is no good, midbar is no good, Yamsiv is no good, Paro is no good. We thought paradise is all bad. Okay, well, the midbar, no, midbar is not good either, right? And therefore, we need amadashuanan. The Rambam literally thought about this image and didn't make any of this medrash up. And we need some kind of guide for the mevuchah, like someone comes and shows you, no, there's actually a way out. Right? That's the kind of guide that Moira literally means a guide, and Moira is, you could translate it as like Hoda'at, or the guidance of, whatever. But
and Moira is Nevechem, he trying to be the bottom?
Moira Nevechem is in Ein Fnaibish's name, in Ephesus. Yeah, I found it. It says the fetish this in one of the Ramas of Vashem, I forgot who. But Moira Nevechem is God's name, because now you think of the story. The Eden were stuck in the midbar, and the Eibish says, Hashem Hoylech Lefnaim. And the Rambam actually uses Hashem. If you remember, everyone remembers the Rambam's Torah about No, you know which parak I'm talking about. Like the most important parak for all the Rambamists, where he explains right? Where the Rambam explains anyway, the Rambam explains that the Moshe Rabbani had, the Eibishter has to lead the people according to their level, and therefore he had to give them things that are like of the Zura to get them out of it, that whole Torah. But it's based on the Yidden going in the Midbar. It's based on the same story in the beginning of Parshas Peshalach. The Rambam is going to mean that the Eibishter can shmach an aleph, the Eibishter can mach an aleph, but the Eibishter mention of visa zen, if they can. Right? And this is the same story here, right? You have to talk to people with the, in their contradictions that they're stuck in and get them a way out. You can't just say, I'm in a pshit is what God can do, but not what we can do. Right? This is also Mashir on Friday, if anyone listened. Remember? Not Nisim, I'm Teva. So, anyways, what am I saying? This is the Moir Nevuchim. Moir Nevuchim is a guide out of the contradiction. He's trying to show you a way to really what, like what Socrates did, to find you a third definition which has the good thing, what you really believe in each, but doesn't contradict, right? That has to be the framework. Not that he has a teretz, right? It's that he's always telling you that you were right in both of them, but you were misunderstanding both of them. So, okay. That's the Rambam, and that's the framing of... Now I explained the framing a lot better than what most people understood until now. But that's the framing of the guide of the perplexed, that there's a mevucha, and the mevucha is very clearly that you believe two things. If you, like the Rambam says, if you don't believe both of these things, then you have no problem. In the Rambam's way of working, or in his world, these two things are symbolized by these two canons, right? These two books. There's a book called the Bible, of Maizajos, the Mishnah, and there's another book called Aristotle, and you're stuck with them. But really, it's about you, it's not about the books. It's not about how you mean Yashiv Yiddishkeit with the Goyishkeit. That's not the problem. The problem is that you believe the Goyishkeit already, right? If you didn't believe it, then, or the other way around, the problem is not true, but the problem is that both of these things are true, or that you do believe, or you should believe both of them, so you have to reconcile them. And like I said, reconciliation is not making a pshuda. We're never going to get out of Socratic problems of making a pshuda, you know? Is it good? You know, I can get you into these easy contradictions, right? Is it good to be always loyal to your family, or should you be loyal to the truth more, right? And this is like one of the first Socratic dialogues. What do you do if your father did a crime? Do you report it to the police? Well, sadechot. We have to give it a van. It's such a news. Justice, right? What's the solution?
Oh, what does he tell the
judge? He doesn't know. He gets stuck. No, this is the problem. Socrates doesn't say he has the answer. He says that anyone that says he has the answer is lying.
He's a bad person for persecuting his father.
He argues with him that he is. He doesn't say what he thinks. But I know what he thinks, but I don't know halacha l'maaseh what he thinks. But I know that what he thinks is that, therefore, the definition of the good is neither being good to your father or being good to the court, even not caring about your father. It's some third thing. That's what he's going to try to get, and that's the kind of work that we're going to do. Now, the Rambam, this is how the Rambam frames the Moir Nevuchim. But the other, this cipher called Shmoyne Perukim, or Peresh HaMishnah more generally, which was not written for the Nevuchim, l'chayre. That's why we're allowed to learn it, not for the Nevuchim. It doesn't frame it that way. Although, of course, you're all confused. But what do we do? So this like style of teaching, which is making people realize that they're confused, is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? To who is it dangerous? Why do I say it's not? No, mostly, firstly, because people don't like not being told that they're wrong. That's the first problem. Besides, there's other problems. But if you want to start teaching, which was you have something to teach the people, and the first thing you're going to start doing is to explain to people how their OS thought, their belief contradictory things, you're not going to have a shiur next week. You can do that after people come to a lot of shiur, and then... So Fram first had to give a different shiur. And therefore the other shiur was doing something more tricky, right? This is all part of teaching people at their level. Which was that he told the people both things at once. He's hoping to maybe you'll finally realize that there's a problem. But he just like sort of told you the teretz before the kasha. Not entirely the teretz before the kasha. And what he said was something different. Instead of saying, Rabbi said there's a major problem, the Torah has one mahalach, and the ethics, the Aristotle has a different mahalach, what are we going to do? Listen, I have a shtickle Torah, we could forever then. He just starts off and said like this, listen, the truth doesn't belong to one person. Everyone knows who, how do we know? Because some Arab said, but who cares? That's a statement that everyone agrees with. Really. That's why he quotes it. That the truth isn't decided by who says it. Truth is, should be taken from anywhere. And therefore, who cares who said something? If it makes sense, it makes sense. And therefore, he's going to give you already the teretz, which is both of these things. Right? That's the Rambam's way of introducing us to these two sources that he's working with all the time. And he doesn't really, it's true that he really sees it in the way it says here. He doesn't really see these as two sources of like different kinds of truth or different kinds of worlds. They're the same world. They're all talking about the same God and the same world. There's only one God in one world. So there can't be only ones anyways. So, and therefore, if there's any truth or any way of life that one proposes has to work with the other, just different books and different, maybe different what styles, different languages have to be understood. Okay. So back to where we started. So now, in Pai Du Gimbal, the Rambam quotes one of these, Kadmoinim. Kadmoinim is his code, which it said in the beginning for, it doesn't even say it here, but it's a code for Kadmoinim what? Kadmoinim Yidin or Kadmoinim Goyim?
Well, he says here the Kadmoinim philosophers and the later ones.
Very good, very good. So if you remember the Akdoma, you'll remember that it says, that is aside from Malikit. It's Malikit from the whole list, and I think I made the listings.
And Shar and Nashem, right, or something?
It says something exactly. There's a list of two or three groups, each one divided into each one divided into two or three sources, depending on exactly how you organize it. And it says that this is a liket from one person called Chachomim. It's interesting that it doesn't say Medivre HaTorah, because later it keeps on going back to the Torah and the Nevi'im, which were before the Chachomim. Okay, Macha question. I'm going to write it. And he says the Chum have various books called Medrash, Talmud, and other books. And then he says that there's philosophers. And philosophers, there's various kinds of philosophers called old ones and new ones.
Modern and postmodern.
No. Ancient and modern. Not modern and postmodern. Ancient and modern. That's the literal translation. Modern just means, it's just a fancy word for new, right? Ancient and modern. It's interesting that by Chachom, he doesn't say from Chachom, ancient and modern. He has Talmud, Medrash, and I guess it means other agudas, Chaisnish. And by the philosophers, it's ancient and modern philosophers. I don't know why. Why? Why isn't there modern Chachamim? There aren't any. Only the Rambam. He's the modern Chacham. It would be weird. That's what you would say. The Rambam says that Rishonim has philosophim Rishonim v'achronim, but it doesn't have Chachomim Rishonim v'achronim. He has Chachomim bekominai Shas and Pa and Dalme and other places.
It doesn't make sense that way.
Makes sense.
No, yeah, explain to you.
Explain. I'm making a deal. Maybe it's being over my diet.
No, I actually think it's very good because you're learning Gemurah, right? Try to understand what Gemurah says. It matters if you feel 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. You try to understand the Gemurah. What's the difference, right?
Okay.
But by the philosophers, they're always progressing. In other words, there's like, became all of a sudden scientists.
Very nice. So you became a big Kaddish that philosophers progress and Gemurahs don't progress?
Correct. Fakir, we're always trying to go back more.
I don't think that's true, though.
I mean,
this is the best. I read. I want to tell you an interesting story. So, I think that there's something. Hey, I thought of this idea. So, it's an interesting thought. I can tell you one fact that I know, which we learned in Parakan Aleph and others in Moira, that Ram was not a big fan of the Chacham after the Talmud. It happens to be. He didn't believe in them too much. He didn't think they were too smart. Of course, he read their stuff, and he probably stole a lot of ideas from them, but he didn't just get out of his
Well, it's not Rimi Gash and Riff.
Yeah, some of them he held up, it's true. But like, in, as a class, he didn't see them as authorities. It's true that he saw the Riff as an authority, And also others, but just like officially, like I said, really, it didn't come from the air, so we learned everything from someone. But that's one thing.
That wasn't the main tradition either.
But I don't know, according to God, I don't know, this is a side thing, that's not the Talmud, but I don't know if it's true that there isn't progress in Talmud. I think pretty sure there is. Maybe it's getting worse, I don't know.
I ate more than a halva matzah.
Oh, because they're all influenced. they're all influenced by the scientists already. They're not, meaning the Chachmei Talmud cannot be progressive.
I'm not masking. I read on Pesach, I have all my friends are Geres Chachomim, and they all read only Rishonim, the Chachomim, and they all read only I learned a little Agudish of Pesach on Pesach. Last time I learned something. And they have this book called Torah Chaim, which is all the Rishonim. And then I bought another book called Agudish Rishonim V'Achronim, which is also the Achronim, like Maral, Shlem Al-Kaba, it's, I don't remember who else. And the other, there's two other big Achronim that made Prichman Aguda, the Rabbah Benel, and the Nesivis, Nasir Nissim. I had a blues Achronim. Okay, so all these Achronim. And I tried to understand Aguda, because the Achronim is in a sach besip shot from the Rishonim. They have to make sense. The Rishonim are like, I don't know. It's not. Maybe these are not, maybe they're wrong Rishonim, the Rashba would write Perish would be better, I don't know. But whichever the Rishonim, and it's often like this. You learn a Sigil, very often you see the Rishonim have a much more coherent chat than the Rishonim.
Involvement.
You want to understand that good, eh? Not only Mazbeg event, it's better, it's more clear. Whatever, what does it mean, Unach Ma'anyu? You look in the Rishonim, they all have these like made up funny pshut, huh? And you look in the Achron, they each have a mal, they all more or less say the same thing, they all converge on something, it's and it's true, it's progress, because it's based on that thing, they made up all the ideas, the Shalim came up with certain ideas, then they refined them, they saw what doesn't really work, what does work, and they made it work much better, there's such progress in Torah. The Achron in general say much better pshat and everything than when the Kastishtal Nashtikl,
okay, but
Shagasari with Ashtikl Rambam, who makes more sense?
Does it make a lot?
Yeah, everyone knows that the Chacham make more sense. It's because of progress. It's not because you didn't learn from the Ramban anything.
Yeah, but is meaning is I think halacha.
It's true that there's more authority because halacha has to have authority. And, philosophers also learn a lot of the Rishonim. It's not
to
like
the people
they
don't who wrote it, right?
What
is halacha mani more intelligible to the people who wrote it than me, who's reading an Achron explaining what it means?
If come not, around in the front door, go to the front door and find the way here. Use your sense of direction. I can't open it though. You just open the door.
Meaning, is my Rav just trying to help me understand halakh mani the same way as the people who wrote it?
Yeah, yeah, I think he is.
So then it's not progress. It might be continuing. It might be endurance or permanence, but it's not progress.
There's a cheer. There's not enough cheers. There's a cheer over there behind.
Progress would be if you write the second part of halakh mani.
No, not necessarily, because I'm talking just to understand the halakh mani. You want to make a new algorithm? By the way, there's that also.
That's maintenance.
And
right?
I don't know if that gets better or not. But the neginim is the chran machim and best. I don't know. We don't have songs from the Rishonim, so we don't know. The hanta neginim is shvach, but the chran? It's not maintenance. There's a certain question. How do you understand this text? And the chranim are doing better at it. Okay, this is not my subject today. Let's move on. And get stuck. I don't know the answer. I think there might be some deep conspiracy. The basic answer is, like you said, not mamash like you said, but the way the learning is structured was like this, at least how he understood it, is that there's Chachomim, there's all these books. He doesn't structure his learning in this way. I don't know why. And then he has this idea of there being ancient philosophers and modern philosophers. The ancient philosophers are Aristotle and his teacher and his teacher's teacher. And the modern, more or less, and the modern philosophers are people like the Arab people that he read. So, and why am I saying all of this? Because now when he says Kadmoinim, it doesn't mean the Chachomim, because then he would say Amri Chachomim. And sometimes he starts with a philosophim, and after we have to look in the other program if it ever starts with like Amri. I know that every Pirek, there's like a half of it is about the Chachomim, and half of it is about the. About the no, and only in later. Let me see. In Bayrik Vov, we have an explicit machloik. It starts with Amri Philosophim. Very good. But anywhere else where he's not trying to make a machloik, that's the only place where he's trying to make a machloik. And then later in Bayrik Ches, we talks about machloik at the Medabrim and stuff. But when he's here, he's not trying to tell you the machloik. So the Kadmoinim is okay. The Kadmoinim said something. And I spoke about this, that I don't know of a source of it in the Torah, or a good source. There are all kind of good things. It's interesting why and if it means something. Right? Could you find a pusik or a chmam chazal that talks about the soul having health and sickness? but doesn't mean a sick in a bad way of sickness, right? It's true that it's a mushal of sickness, which is not literal.
Is it
but
that he says something about his something around the nafshi or something?
There's a pasuk referring nafshi kichtosida. What nafshi in the Torah usually means my body, myself. Actually, it should be translated myself usually, not necessarily my soul as distinct from my body. Right? But, so.
Usman chasar leiv.
Because it is.
What?
Usman chasar leiv.
It says a lot of things, but you're talking about that you want to die, that there's middis toiv, left toiv, and all these things. It says a lot of good middis and bad middis. It's not like Aristotle invented the concept of good middis. I'm saying that this language of talking about this soul having. We have to think what it means. I'm trying to say that it means must mean something.
Let's say Usman chasar, not in that context, Usman chasar.
It doesn't mean leiv literally. It means. Something like that.
We say
that
Shumul Shinsat Bitoy. Two in the Tumma we see.
Okay, yeah, sure. Achon. It's a Lusha Chachamim, yeah. My ship's a Chemesh, but in Chazal they talk about the Neshama being Tua. Is the gift Tumma? If the Neshama is Tua, they start the gift is Tumma? Then it does not the same, because here we're saying there's Taharas HaNefesh, it would have to be. The Rambam would say something like this, Taharas HaGif and Taharas HaNefesh. He does say things like that. Taharas HaGif means Nekias and Taharas HaNefesh means Dais Toivis or whatever. I'm not sure what Neshama Tahoira means, Bechla. What's my intent? Adarbura, Refias HaNefesh, Choyle HaNefesh, there being an idea of the soul being sick. I don't know of such a language. The fetish. And if you could make a drusha for Nafshikich Tosilach if you want.
How does it describe Shaul?
It fits the theme.
What?
How does it describe Shaul's issues?
No, wait, you're talking about something else. There are Meshiguam. Chodi HaNefesh is not meaning Meshigah, right? You heard, I already said this in the last week, right? When the Rambam says Refias HaNefesh, he's not talking about psychology. Psychology is part of Refias HaGif. Different part of the gif, but it's not Nefesh. When we say Nefesh here, we mean the part of the person that is better or worse in a moral sense. Or the way in which a person is better or worse in a moral sense, which is in a really a human sense, right? Because everything else is just as a body or as a machine or as a worker, as all kind of things, not as a human being, right? Well, the good of a human being is to be moral, virtual. Morality is not a very good word. Anyways, right? And in that sense, we say there's sickness and health, which means really being good in the moral sense, right? But this is not something that... So this idea of health and sickness, I don't know of a Makarfrit or Befetish. Betal Medrash, Mistam, there are. Maybe in Chazal, maybe you'll find, but I'm sure the greatest book in Chazal. But the Rambam doesn't say it has Chazal, and he doesn't bring a pusik for it. And maybe in Mishnah Torah brings a pusik. No, in Mishnah Torah doesn't even talk about Pris and Nefesh, right? No, right? Hilchas Dayas, which is a summary of all of this book, right? We just talked about Moir Nevarchan and Shmoyne Brokman and Sechtes and Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah, which is basically, he does talk about it, supposedly. Of course he does, right? Mishnah Torah, which is a summary of this ideas in this book in more, even more Yiddish language, starts with the Chol Yagif and Chol Yanefesh, right? It's basically the same thing as this Parik that we're going to learn, that we're learning now, right? So he brings Psikim from Yishai, but he doesn't bring the word Refias HaNefesh from a Pusik. Very good. No, we know that the Rambam didn't think that there's a pusik that he can bring. Because the Rambam has a minig always to bring that pusik as the clearest, right? Even in halacha. Okay, sure. But what does it mean? No, you know what it means? This really belongs to Parik Aleph, in some sense, we discussed it, right? What does it mean to say this? What's this statement trying to say?
Let's see what the feeling of the soul means.
Someone came. Rav Socrates used to go around and tell people something like this. You all want to be healthy, right? So I have news for you. You should want to be healthy not only in your body, you only but also in your soul. Or mainly in your soul. So that's more important. What does it mean when he says this?
To have the correct virtues.
Yeah, thank you very much. The people before him, like I said last week, Mashiach. I can think of 35 other Meshulim for being a good person. Right?
As opposed to what?
What's the point? Like, what is the point of this solution?
Why phrase it this way?
Everyone knows it says in the Rambam also. So everyone knows already. What's the point of me coming and saying that you should, that there's sickness in the soul, and you should want to, you should try to have a healthy soul and not a sick soul? As opposed to just saying, I don't know, Moshe Rabbeinu came with the Torah. He never talked about sickness in the soul. He said, Rabbi Yisrael, do this, you'll be happy, or you'll get tzchah, do that, you'll get oynish, you'll be sad. Things like that, right? The Abishtha will be happy. Whatever he said.
It's a metaphor because
every
physical
person
is different.
No.
Every person is different.
Every person is different.
What do you mean? If Moshe Rabbeinu would just come, then it's not. It's not saying that. It's no rule for everyone how he's going to be. I guess the best version of himself.
So you're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't talk about the Rebbe Shneur Shalom? Just gave mitzvahs. It's a whole different noise. That's my shiur last.
The reason,
talking about this.
The reason to heal it states that it's sick.
True.
Right, that there's something wrong.
Has
with
to be
it.
Sick. You don't have to heal. No, you don't have to only heal sick people. I mean, that's another we get. We'll get to that later in the Pidek. But you have to. Everyone has to be healthy, and you go to a doctor to tell you. Doctor in the sense of exercise and food. Medicine is when you have a problem. But even exercise and food are ways of people being healthy and not healthy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a problem to be to
maintain your body.
So I mean, the question is why is it mentioned in a way?
Not to only maintain. You want to become strong, and it's just a kind of health of the body. You have to exercise. And so.
It's mentioned because it works under the same model.
Okay, which is?
Which is that you culture it and cultivate it properly, and you change its
there's
habits.
That is an ideal version of what health is, and that's what you should be striving for, and other than that, you're unhealthy.
So it's a mushul that... Look, the Rambam uses this mushul for, like, I don't have a list, someone made a list somewhere, for like six different things at least, just in this book, how the mushul works. But you could do this, you could extend almost every mushul. You learn midrash, people that do drush as well, good. Almost every kind of image that I would have given you, I would have been able to extend it to whatever you want to say. I think.
Why is that?
Why that is? Because people are creative and they could make everything mean everything. What do you mean? Imagine that Rama would come and say... Steinish. Imagine Rama would come and say that a body has to be clean. Just like that, your soul has to be clean. This is a mushul that you hear in Bismedesh often, okay? Like you said, Tahara, which basically means clean. And someone would say, you know, just like when it's very dirty, it's not enough to clean with a sweep, you have to bring a deep cleaner. And just like once in a year, we have to clean for Pesach, otherwise, so therefore, you have to have Rim Kippur. This mushul almost says in Shidnes Swim, right? Or maybe it does. And everything else, you tell me another part, and I'll tell it to you in the mushul of cleaning.
I just want to know if does that mean they're all not true then? Therefore,
so no, it's useful. Not, all these models are useful. They maybe it's easy to remember something with the mushul of Eisner, something like that. I don't know. Why do people do Mushulim Taka? It's a good question. Should think about it. We have this mushul of height, right? Of space, right? A low person is someone that deans the Tavis, and a high person is someone that doesn't deen the Raivisht, okay? And this is supposed to make you think that it's better to deen the Raivisht. Why? Because for some reason we assume that it's better to be high. I don't even know why, right? I can tell you where it comes from.
Probably safer to be high than low.
Very good. So in the military context, it makes sense. The Sanduch Hashem, Elion HaKol, this is Elion. Then you could see the people that are coming to shoot you. Okay, very good. And then it becomes a mushul for almost everything, right? This height. In any case, this mushul of B'riyas V'chayli, or sickness and health, is a mushul that...
triggers the reader.
So every, like I said, all mushulim somehow seem to trigger us. We have to figure out if they teach us something also, or they just started this. There's some mushulim that don't teach us anything. Okay, let's think about this. I want to think about this. Let's see if we can think about it. Why did the Bin Magid say mushulim? Because then we'll get mazal with that mushul when he says mushulim. What's the point?
It's a hook.
It's a hook. How did the hook work?
It's relatable. In essence, it's a mushul.
Okay. Very good. It's relatable. What does it mean it's relatable?
Doesn't teach you anything.
Well, no, it's not. Wait. No. What does it mean
pulls
it's relatable? It pulls you in what way? Like, what does it mean it pulls you in? These are all words that...
to comprehend. Or the cycle alliance is too complicated.
Okay.
It's a mutual simplifier.
Okay, so it could pull you in the sense of, like, something like, let's say I want to say a drusha about... something like this, pulling, when you say pull in, I'm thinking of something like a bait and switch, like I do with my YouTube captions, right? If I hang a sign and shield and say I'm giving a drusha about how to be a good person, nobody will come unless it's like a real Musa or yeshiva. You know? So.
You
said
that
Rosh Hashanah
is wrong
by wearing a hat. Right. Yeah, if I write a sign. No, but that's mamish politik, that's mamish law, right? But if I write a sign.
It's a very popular one.
If I write a sign about something that some people already care about, right? And then I show them, right? And I write a sign, no, something interesting. Come here about the news. Well, many people think they care about the news.
History.
So, whatever, so come, right? And then I'll tell you, the Echtenas is Echod Eshtach HaShemesh, but the Torah is something like that, right? What was that point? It's a poll, right? It's some kind of beta switch, but it's not really, if you understand what you're doing. What you're doing is, because nobody could teach people what they don't want to know, right? What they don't care about. So you take something that the person already knows, or already cares about, which is even maybe the same thing as knowing, or maybe part of knowing, or maybe more important than knowing, I don't know. And you say, you start talking to him about that. So it's similar to like the shiny sign outside, but it really works, the shiny sign, because everyone wants to see shiny signs. And that brings them in to the meaning, to what I really want to teach. Right? That's like the... That's one aspect of a mushal.
I think there's another aspect.
It's still sort of right? It's still sort of tricking. I don't know if you... The word tricking is nice. Like pulling people, like Socrates wanted to convince people to be good, and for whatever reason, the people in this town were obsessed with being healthy, maybe like with being athletic, which includes being healthy. So he told them, you care so much about the body, you know, all the, he was the first one that said this Chanukah drush, that he wouldn't be busy with their gift, and we should be busy with the nefesh. It's true. He was the Yevuni that said this drush. He was the Yevuni, but Rabbi said, you're so busy with your gift. You should care about your nefesh at least as much as you care with your gift, right? This is Socrates' drush. It's a good drusha because they wouldn't care so much about the gift, right? If they wouldn't care about it, like if they would have to take a different drusha, you should care. They would care more about money. You'd have to say something about money, but they weren't so into money. So he said something they weren't into.
It has deeper correlations than other rishonim.
Okay. So that's step one. We have one chat already. So, but now you're saying that it's not enough.
Isn't the idea that a marshal is supposed to pull it out of context and focus on one thing? That's the idea. A good mashal should do that.
Pull who out of which context?
It means you're trying to figure out something. I don't know. What, right? Like the nefesh, you're just getting very confused. A lot of different elements to it. So you're saying a story that
that's a mushal in a different sense, right? A mushal sense of an example.
Yeah, like it isolates one element of it.
An image is just like I said. If you write a post and just write text, nobody's going to read it. So you tell ChatGPT to make a funny picture, people look at it. Some people.
It doesn't need to isolate it necessarily. Well, you can have the same hand.
Even the
right, just explain the relationship.
It means a lot of
things. Okay, so wait. So, right, okay, so let's try to see. So, very good, very good, very good.
Right, so I'm saying he doesn't draw a connection between these two.
So, one point of the mushla is just to sort of bait you into listening, or maybe to sort of. Because most people don't really think if it makes sense. So, if you say a mushla, a boisai. Everyone wants to be healthy. The real way to be healthy is to biksich 3 times a day to the tzayim. It works just as well, right? Because you're making the association of people's heads with something they like, right? Like you give the children to. I don't know. It's just rhetoric. It's just like some kind of, for some reason, it works, right? People that know how to do good mashulam, they can convince you afterwards of anything. And very often, the mushla is the nimshla. Someone comes and says a beautiful mushla of some story. And therefore, you should give money to my kollel on Shabbos. I don't know. He made you somehow. That's the nimshal, right? It works. Okay. Maybe we could make the correct version of that. That it works in some way. Now you want to tell us a mushal. You want to tell me that a mushal works in an even better way, right? But Adam is trying to say now that's one aspect. Maybe this aspect is connected to the other aspect. It's one aspect, which is like the marketing aspect. We could call it if we want like a simple term for it. And there's also the understanding aspect, right? It's not only marketing, or you could call it chizik, sardis, lafis sardis, so. But there's also an actual understanding aspect. What's the understanding aspect? Something like this. know what, you start saying something simple. Alright, you have to have something relatable. What does it mean relatable? Relatable means just something very simple, that most of the things that are true, or the things that the Chum are trying to teach us, are not things that anyone met before they were told. Right? If you want to talk about being a good person, we talk a lot about this way out of this by showing you a good person. But if I want you to understand what it means being a good person, you can't see, nobody ever saw any understanding of anything, right? You could see an example, but you can't see an understanding. So, but I do want you to understand, and I think you need to understand. We'll figure out some why, but anything I want you to understand. So, I have to have a way of getting you to understand. I'm saying it right away in a too complicated way to simplify this. To simplify this.
I think it's just, in some places, people could also understand how one thought leads to another, but they don't follow that same progression when they think about something else. So when you relate the two.
Like,
for example, I might think that I can understand, just like apples and pears go in the same category, but they're not the same thing, so to a body and a soul go in the same category, even though they're not the same thing. I don't know. Something like that.
The opposite. They're different.
Which might help someone understand how two different things can
Be. But it's the same thing. So you're trying to, so you're saying the same thing, you're just giving emotion.
I try
to explain something abstract, right? And abstract things, which is where all thought is supposed to lead, I guess. That's what understanding is. But abstractions are not something that we begin with ever, apparently. Or at least in the way of this kind, way of teaching with emotion. Maybe there's some people that know how to teach without emotion. Maybe there's some of them that can just look at you and you understand the whole world, and when you go home, you don't know how to explain it to anyone because it was just... But the people that are teaching with emotion, because they're teaching in this kind of Bederich HaTev, right? Not Bederich Nes. They want you to understand, and they want to understand certain abstractions. I don't know what this word abstraction yet means, so... And because you can't, it's very hard. Close the door. Because it's very hard to start with that. Like people complaining about philosophers that they talk about all these words that seem to connect with each other, but nobody knows what the words are about. So if they start something, we know what it's about, right? What are we talking about? Okay, so we're talking about. Well, I don't know. How am I going to explain it to you? Okay, so let's start with something that we do understand, right? You understand what it means to be a healthy person. Probably you don't really understand that, but you at least starting with something. Now you could transform that, like, not the image. You could transform that structure, right? That form, that concept to something else. Does that make sense? And this is what the Mushtal is helping us. It's helping us move from concrete things to abstract things, which is what we would call understanding. Understanding means... right? If I want to define to you what something like geometry is always the mushal that the ancients, as we're saying, like to use, because they were very impressed by geometry. And geometry has these very weird definitions that are the true definitions according to geometry, but don't help anyone that's starting to learn it, right? What is a square?
390 degrees.
What is a square?
Two right angles. All sides are equal to each other.
They also have these, like, their own ways of calling things, something like that. Okay. Now, but does that, if you tell a child or an adult that didn't go to any geometry class or anything, and you tell them a square is a shape with four equally long sides or something like that?
They've never seen one.
Then he says, like, I don't know, if you tell this to, like, a theoretical, like, computer program, you might be able to use this. But if you tell it to a human being, they don't know how to use it. So you tell them, look, this is a square. That's a square. Now there's red squares, there's green squares, there's orange squares, there's all kinds of squares. But now, this is literally what abstraction means, right?
It's counting out them as the squares.
Exactly. Now you could take, they're all square. Right, there's something common. So we're abstracting. This is, by the way, we should know that if it happens, right? This is abstraction, is what's called in Lushna Kodesh Hafshuta. Okay? Hafshuta means undressing. Okay? Literally. Making it naked. How's it undressing? Because it's an image. Hafshut is also a mushal, right? No, it is. Abstraction probably means something similar and it comes from a different language. I don't remember. But when we say mifshit and all kinds of things, we don't know what we're talking about. So now we know what we're talking about a little bit. Hafshut means that if I see a lot of squares, that's Megishin. Or we could call it Melibish. In other words, why is it Melibish? Because it's two things. There's squareness together with redness and together with whatever the square is made out of. Most usually it's made out of a piece of paper and ink. Whatever it is, it's made out of something. Right? But from looking at many of these squares and applying some magical thing called thought, nobody, this is a mystery where it comes from. How does it happen? You should think about it, you should wonder about it for many nights. How could it be that somehow people manage to, it's called, some people call it identify patterns, but take forms out of matter? You know how it used to be called. It's very amazing because it's very unclear where you defined it. Nobody ever saw a square, right? That's kind of like I'm labeling it as a square. A square. Square things you saw, right? But squareness, and some people, some like Ibrahim come and say it doesn't exist, it never, nobody ever saw it. Oh, we think,
it's like the number nine.
Because
really, square is only a language.
That's one teret, that you already said a teret, and now you don't have a problem, because it doesn't exist, I get into it. It's right. Always an easy way to answer all the kashas existence. But there are squares. And in which sense there are squares is the good question. But there for sure are squares. And squares are separate. This is another word that you'll find. Separate. Separate of Lushna Kodesh?
Nifred.
Nifred. Nivdil. Nifred was stolen by the Mekwil. It means something bad. So you have to say the word Nivdil. The Shonim used the word Nifred, but then the Mekwil, they used the word differently. So you shouldn't be confused. Nivdil. What does it mean, Nivdil? That you could separate. Where could you do the separation?
Oh, between the thing and its abstraction?
Yeah. You're separating one thing and the two. There's squares, square things, but there's also squareness. Or another word for this act of what we call understanding what a square is this act of separation. Or if someone is a Platonist and says there are squares in themselves, he believes in separate forms of squares. That's what it's called. Tzidus nevdulis. And the same way, or another word for the same thing, which is the word hafshuta, or disrobing the square from its thing that it was enclosed in, right? There is a square, it's somehow in this box, we get taken out of the box. That's what Afshuta means. Someone has a Spash Tagashmias means that you could think of squares. I didn't make up this chat, this is what it originally means. And maybe you yourself are just more like a square than like a body, and that you're yourself being mifshit, because who's thinking, that's a whole different. Okay. Actually, as you mentioned, at least neshama. Now you know how, according to the rationalists, at least. So now we understand why we use the mushal. The mushal is the melibish part. The mushal is helping us only because we're dumb and we're nebuch melibish in a gif, and it's hard for us to start with abstractions, with tivurim nevdulim, mefshutim, nefrudim. So we start with
the squares themselves, the square things.
The square things, and it's every square is only a mushal for that square. Right? True, which is in Spring Valley next to. No. Anyways. You should tell them that their travel translates to modern square. Anyways. So now we have another chapter on Mushal. That Mushal is the only way that anyone learns anything abstract. Unless he was a malach, that is only an extra or something like that. But human beings. And therefore, if I want to explain you, so now we get something better. So when somebody uses a mushal, if he's a smart person, like if he's just doing a sarah, it's okay, the mushal is a way to see flashing lights. You know, like it used to be In any case, and therefore, but if someone smart is telling you a mushal, he's probably trying to teach you something abstract. And he's probably choosing the mushal which is supposed to. So, like that's what Shmuley started to say. You want to try to the world which we live in called the Olam Ha. Which world do we? Some part of us. Olam Gisiya, Olam Gashmi, Olam Ha, sensible world. The philosophers is called Olam Mergish, right? The world that we could feel, sense. That's a world that is very confused, right? This is probably where most confusions come from, because we never find pure things. We never find squares. We only find square things. And every square thing is not perfectly square, and it also has a bunch of other conditions, and it's hard to talk about. But we find a mushal. The best mushal for a square is something that's very, very square, or that is only square and not anything else. We're trying to at least cut up the mushal in the right way, so it should show us the squareness, right? So in the same way, if Socrates or the Rambam trying to teach you something about the soul, and for some reason, and he decided, besides for the rhetorical things, like I said before, he decided to tell us something about health and sickness. And everyone knows what health and sickness is. And what he wants to show you is that what he's trying to say, at least for health and sickness, is not something that he could have said with all the 10,000 other Meshulim. Those other Meshulim are not true. He closes his eyes, he gives it, as he ushir, as he... everything turns out to mean he should be a good person. Okay, sad. But when he and the Rambam didn't choose saying this Tam B'Tor Mushul. Okay, so now another reason why not doing a virus. Is it another reason? It's just another same reason that we can apply. Is what he's trying to what he's teaching us with this mushul is something that he picks out of the reality, that he's being mafshit from the reality in this mushul and trying to show us that being a good person is like being healthy and sick. And there's a whole bunch of ways in which it's like, but that's the main, that's the way in which we have to go, right? Chaya. So what is it? You should already know, you're by my sheet, I'm the Pirate Caliph, you should already know the real answer to that question. What are we picking out of the reality when we call being a good person health and sickness? The Rambam was actually going to talk about other more things. It doesn't actually give the main, maybe it gives the main definition in Pirate Caliph. Sort of, I'm not sure. So what is the thing?
That it's fixable by habit?
That's something that he's going to say about Igdalad. Yeah? But that's like, I don't think that's that what it means. That's something, that's an extension of the Mushul, I think. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. What is the thing that most people nowadays don't know about being a good person, which calling it being a healthy soul helps us to know?
It's for your own good.
Yeah, something like that. So I'm getting closer to what I want. So to what I
think. What
you
really want. It's your happiness. It's your...
Yeah, things like that. Things like that, right? This is my reg drusha that everyone should already know. That most people think that being good or being doing mitzvahs or how do you call whatever, is some a very different kind of thing than being healthy and being sick. That's what we tend to think. In other words, healthiness and sick, whatever it is, right, is what's the Rambam call it? Let's find a word and then we'll see if his word matches to what we think. What is healthy? What is health in relation to the body, to the life?
Good.
Very good. Okay, it's Och Nora Mushlim. We have to figure out what it means. Someone could say, this is first, what he said. Firstly, someone could say, the Rambam was looked as a tzaddik, as a schleim, a gesinnte mensch, a gesinnte nefesh, a gesinnte gif, also, but for sure, a gesinnte nefesh, I don't know who told you. A tzaddik is someone that does Ruth Hashem. I'm just lang krank, I'm lang krank. Shaykhins, who told you that you have to be, it's very different, so it could be a theater even. Someone could say a good person in the sense of, like, what we call with a tzaddik, is shaykhins being a healthy soul. Maybe even souls do have health, but it's not a tzaddik, because a tzaddik is someone that does mitzvahs. So mitzvah zang is then maismush. Krank, so. Shkanavaire. Okay, that's one thing, but what does it really mean? And that's just like to explain, to show that there's a difference. Well, what I think that what it really means is that...
Well, modern people don't have a definition of health.
Okay, therefore they don't have a definition of good people either, 100%. The only thing that's why then in modern square they say they have to only do mitzvahs. They don't care about you being a healthy person. Because they don't believe that there could be such a thing, of course. Because they think that you could just do what you want and all that. What?
It's also why there was an opioid epidemic.
And all the other things. It's also because...
But it comes from the idea that health is only what the patient wants, or health is... to minimize the pain of the patient or something like that.
Okay.
Or to do their wish.
Right, so that's why health... Actually, no, health is still a good mushul, even rhetorically. Most people don't really think what you're saying. In psychology, they do. But in physical health, there are like disability activists that we discussed this already that say this. But in reality, most people agree that being healthy is... No, give me up some word.
Body functioning properly.
Don't... Not you, someone else. You already know my teretz. It's cashed. This mental health, physical health. What is health? What's the relation of the healthiness to the thing that's healthy? What kind of a attribute of it is. I don't know. What kind of thing is being healthy? Well, what does it mean?
Good balance.
Okay, yeah, but that's answering already some good balance, but why? Why? What's the why? Like, what?
In philosophy, they say the Tao you said is have to be well balanced.
Yeah, that's how you're healthy, or why? Is that very good? That would be a how. That would be a second level question. I'm trying to get at something even more basic than that. Right? Besides it, so by being balanced, or by being. That's like the definition of how to be healthy, or what health is in
some. Why to live?
Why to live?
No, to live.
To live? Okay. No. Not healthy is not sending us to live. Health, you could be alive and be sick. Maybe you'll eventually die, but that's just. I'm talking about being healthy. Everyone dies anyways, even if they're healthy in some sense. I don't know. Yeah, death is not a problem for health. Not according to. My question is what? I'm trying to get at something. I just don't know how to ask the question that gets this response.
Other circumstances also, like where the term health is applied. You could apply it to like. You could apply it to like computers. Like people say, like the computer health.
Okay, let me say. Yeah, it's true. But let's try to see. Right. So we use health as a mushla, but it's a mushla that seems to work. People don't. When you say other things,
if it's
let's see if I could think of something. Okay, like health is different kind of a thing. I'm trying to talk about like what kind of health is like this a toilet, right? Like this a predicate. We say something about someone that is healthy, right? What a kind of a relation that this saying that is healthy have to the thing, right? So I know a bunch of different kinds of things. This would be maybe a way of saying it. I know a different kind, bunch of different kinds of things, right? If I said that someone is big, what does it mean about, what is the relationship of this bigness to him? A table is big, a person is big. Even Berachni, it's like Udom Gudl. What does it mean to be big?
Has size.
Yeah. Someone should answer me that didn't read all these books. No, I'm trying to get at something.
Description?
It's a kind of description of the person, right? Okay, if you're looking for him, he's the big one. Okay, but what is it? What kind of... Being big and being healthy are different kinds of things. They're not just different things. That's what I'm trying to get at. Being small, being smart even, being okay, a whole bunch of different things I could say. Yeah. There are different kinds of things. Why are there different kinds of things? If this mask is different? It's the same kind of thing. I don't even know what I'm asking. Nobody knows what I'm asking when I say it's the same kind of thing. Okay, maybe I'll explain why I think it's not the same kind of thing. Someone can be big and the same person could become small, right? Someone could be overweight or obese, and which is a kind of bigness, I guess. Maybe not a good kind of bigness. And then he could go on a diet or take, the pill that you take. And become...
Big can also be tall.
I guess it's nice. Is that big? And then you become small. Now, both of these things, do they say something about the person? I mean, it's a true story about them. It's good. Okay, you're getting to healthy, but besides with that, without saying that it's more healthy, right? Okay, so that's not a good mushul because I mentioned something that has to do with health. But with some people are tall, some people are short, right? Now imagine the same person became tall or became short or was shorter last year and he grew and became taller. Did something change about the person? No, it's a person that was short. The same person is taller, right? The words saying someone is tall or short or a whole bunch of different attributes that we could say about something are not really about it. Does it make sense? There's sort of something added to it. When I say that someone is healthy, that a body is healthy, right? Of course, a person has a lot more things than this kind of health. But if you say that a body is healthy, right? Even you could say a computer is healthy. Same thing. When we say the word healthy, we're saying something much closer to what it is and somehow. Does that make sense? You see that I'm getting at some difference that exists, or I'm making stuff up.
But can't that also change?
Can't what change? Wait,
that's
I'm trying. You could, of course, you could change. But if you'll change, you'll somehow be less of, like you said, a person, a living body. Fully living is a healthy one.
Well, like let's say we're talking about
a less healthy one.
Before.
Wait.
Can that change?
Wait before the square. A square? No. Wait. I'm trying to get something. Then I'm not sure what you mean by change because my change is just emotional. Not emotional, just try to like split this somehow. let me say something like this. Health is something like when we did, I said a person, which is a two of a big thing, right? A person is a bunch of things. But a living body, being healthy, my default. Healthy, the health of a living thing has to do with its livingness. More than the size has to do. Or
so
more than
means functioning well?
Something like that. And something not functioning, not stop functioning well. Functioning well as what it is. Because if a healthy, my computer is sick, that means it's less of a computer in some sense. If my computer is big or even fast, there's faster computers and slower computers, but both of them are just as much computers. If a fast one is slow, then it's sick. Not only slow, right? There's a difference in something being slow. Like I said, like my
computer. Health means being what it's supposed to be.
Something like that. I think that's what the word means. Even in our usage. I'm not making a chiddush. I'm just trying to show you what you think, right? Because if I tell you, like, we could take my size mushul, it's actually a good mushul now, right? If I say someone is a large person in physical size, right? Now, and he's healthy, so according to BMI or whatever, this is the size that he should be. He's just a large person. Then I'm saying one thing. If I say the same thing, he's large, but he is sick, he's obese, he's overweight, I'm just saying that how big he is. But when I'm adding that he is unhealthily big, I'm saying something more about his life, right? If he cares about his life, he should care about that. If he cares about life, he shouldn't really care about how big he is, unless the question is if he can reach the higher shelf or something. Which is not about what he is. Makes sense? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get to something that should be obvious to everyone. I'm trying to the word health is a word, like he said, but I want us to agree with it. The word health is something that relates to what a thing is. From this follows, if you don't know what something is, you can't know if it's healthy or not. This is what you were getting at. Right? Just to show you what I'm trying to say. A square can be a healthy square. I don't know what your question on how square was, but a square can be a six square if it's like a little bit too round, and at some point it stops being a square, then it's a six square.
No, I was just saying that what we were saying before, that there's an abstract idea, right? And there's the, what was the word that you said, that like when it's orange or red, what's the
attribute?
Like something about it, some fact about it.
Yeah.
What it is to be a square.
Right.
And then there's what it is to be red, which is not the same as what it is to be a square. That's what we divided it.
A flat, there are a lot of things that could
change. The squareness, nothing changed. Exactly.
No,
you could change all the colors without stopping to be a square. Therefore, they have nothing to do with a square. You could change a lot of things about a person without changing to be a person. But you can't change health without changing to be a person. A person in the sense of a living body. A person in the sense of a tzaddik, it doesn't matter. Tzaddik. That's what we're getting at, right? But this is the point. That health is a word that talks about something, about what the thing is. And like I'm saying, it's very important. What follows is that, and this is just something that follows, it's not the main thing, right? What follows is that if you don't know what something is, you could know if it's big or small. I don't have to know what this couch is to know it's big. Maybe it's a broken couch, you can't sit on it, but it's a big one. But if it's a broken couch and it's a sick couch, well, we don't say the word sick, but that's the same idea that we're getting at. Now, we usually use healthy only for living things, okay. But, or other things, I don't know. We could use it for other things. And now we see something very important, that going around and telling people that they should care for the health of their soul. Now, again, the word soul is too much, probably. But, say of yourself or something like that. Is what it's doing is it's telling us that being a good person in the sense of a moral person, which is what soul means, that soul is in this context, is just the thing that is good in the moral sense, is the same kind of thing as being a healthy person in the physical health sense, right? It's not a different kind of thing. So if someone asks you, what is a good person? What is a healthy person? You say, everyone would know the answer. A healthy person is a living body that lives well, right? That's what health is. Lives well. For now, it's comprised of a bunch of things, like the balance, and you have to, all this, a lot of things. Maybe we could make them all mean balance, whatever it is, but that's what it's the
it's
more
supposed to be.
It's living, it's doing what it needs to be, right? Yeah. It's doing what it needs to be doing. If you don't know what it needs to be doing, then you can't have, you can't know what it's health. And in the same way, a good person, a good soul, is a soul that lives well for the life of a soul. Right? That soul's well, or that person's well. And it's the same kind of thing. It's not a different, it's not an ad, it's not a mushal, it's a mushal, it's a zayad, it's a nimshal. And there's actually probably not any other mushal, or not any, I can't, over the top of my head, think of another mushal that would help us pick out this thing. That's good. You could think of another one. That's not an important question. The important question is if we understand the point. I think we do, but the mushal is supposed to help us. Of course, this also means, which is not the discussion here, this also means that if you don't know what a person is for, or what a person
is.
Is and is for is the same, sort of the same idea, but in this sense, then you can't know if it's healthy. Which is why every yid has to know what his neshama is. Not some abstract question, because otherwise you don't know if it's healthy or sick, and there you can't be good or bad. Now you could just listen to someone, but that's why it's not an interesting question. Right? Like the Akaida that I wanted to learn starts off like this. It starts talking about, it gives a whole rush about the soul, if it survives death, and if it's like this, if it's like that, if there's Nefesh, Shalich, Neshama, all these things, why would you want to know any of that? He says you would want to know any of that because you want to be happy. Okay, it's just happiness. But then happiness is very similar to health. Anyways, you want to be a good person. You could say it like this. And you can't be, nothing could be good, which is another way of saying happy. Now you'll realize why the Rambam uses the word called. What's the word, the word that the Rambam likes to use that means this? When he wants to say the abstraction, right? Health is emotional, right? Bris is emotional. What's the name, Shlom? What's the abstract word that we use?
Virtue.
Now, ein Wert, yeah? You could say virtue, but what's the... virtue is already usually a word that we use in a specific context. You could say it as a general word. I'm not sure what it originally means. Virtue means something like excellence, really. Which you could say. No, morality is not that. Because morality, I don't know what it means. But I don't know what the word means. Virtue or arete is just a word that means excellence, which is a good word. The Rambam has another word. What's the Rambam's word? You'll understand at least where we got this word from. It's another word that doesn't say in the Torah.
This.
What?
Midas.
No. What's a good person? The correct person according to the. No. These are names from the Chumash. Nine. And Abdi Filozofia. Was Dafayit tried to say? Also, the Balamisset stole this word. Also, the Chassidim don't use it so much. Shleimus. Very good. Shleimus. Perfection. Now, again, it's another thing that you thought it was Tamma Mushal or it came from nowhere. Perfection. Talks about perfection?
Schleimus.
Talks about Schleimus in English. Yeah. Schleimus is just the nimshal of health. Health is the Schleimus of the perfection in English, right? Schleimus, wholeness. Okay, there's more context to the word wholeness, but Akapunim, to perfectly has to be of something, right? It's perfect. The best table is the perfect table at being a table, and the best person is perfect at being a person. That's where we got the concept of Shleimus. Shleimus also means Mekoichal. Well, there's more context to this, but we can't finish for this. Okay, that's how we got the word Shleimus, and that's, I think, the word that Rambam uses in this side, also Shleimius. That's what health is teaching us. So it's enough for Rashi for today.
One line?
Could continue, but it's late, no? I think it's enough.